Innovate Gang podcast for Saturday, April 10th, 2010. I'm Steve Borsch, and I'm on with Tim Elliott.
Good morning. Like the music.
Thank you. Graham Thickens.
Very nice choice today.
You there, Graham?
Oh, I'm here, man.
All right. And Phil Wilson.
Hello.
Yeah, this is kind of fun music.
Well, let's just play it today.
Reminds me of like 60s TV cop shows or something. I don't know.
Yeah, it's kind of got that surfer vibe, too.
Yeah, it does. I like that.
It does. Well, it came from a search that I did when you were surfing a bunch, Graham, and I went off looking for music that was surf-related.
That's kind of where that came from.
But we will have a special guest on today. But first, let's just start off with the week in Minovation, kind of a wrap up of the past week. I know that it kind of kicked off with the iPad intro and us doing a podcast in line at the Apple Store at Southdale,
which was big fun.
That was fun. That was a good time. Well, and it was also...
We are such geeks.
But it was nice to see all the turnout there. Duke Zurich, the young guy that runs all the stores for Apple. But also what was interesting was to see Gene Munster there, who is the analyst for Piper Jaffray on Apple.
Oh, was he there?
Yeah,
oh,
he was there. And, well, he was talking to Duke and one other guy. I'm sure to get a flavor.
Right. You kind of hung back to do a little schmoozing. I remember that.
Well, yeah, so. I was going to try to go over and talk to him, but he was, it was him.
I'm bummed. I wanted to meet him, but I wasn't feeling well, but I had to show up anyway. I could not miss that darn thing.
So yep. Steve actually met one of the Munsters. That's great.
Yeah.
That's right. I really cared about Grandpa. So, but he wasn't there. Grandpa Munster was missing, but you know, what was interesting is I just wanted to throw this in, because I didn't even know these guys were here. Several people emailed me and asking me how we did the field recording of the Minovate Gang podcast in line at the Apple Store Southdale.
Wait a minute. Somebody asked you, Steve, how you did the recording. And did you guys spend the day together talking about it, or?
No, I just emailed back. Give me a break.
You did.
Will you be nice to me? You are mean to me.
I just, you're very in depth when somebody asks you about your audio.
I know. Maybe too much.
To say the least. So.
Yeah.
It's just going to let you know that if you want an in-depth answer to any question regarding the audio of this podcast, please direct your emails to.
All right. Are you done teasing the heck out of me? All right.
Yeah, so, but you ought to share how we did it because we did get a couple of comments about that.
Well, it was just on your iPhone, right?
Well, I did it on my iPhone, went into airplane mode so I didn't get any buzz. And then I used that Blue Mikey microphone, which gives awesome results. And I had just a few days earlier purchased an app called FIRE. Fire stands for field recording, and I started using it, and I like it because it does pass through. You can put a pair of headphones in and actually hear the audio, which is a big deal for
you.
Well, and just for using, I know, just for using audio. But it turns out that it's done by a Minneapolis company called Audiophile Engineering.
Great!
And I'll put a link to them in the show notes. And I reached out to these guys and just said, hey. By the way, three different people emailed me about, the results and what kind of recorder we used. And I explained to them what we did. And so we're going back and forth. I'm going to be interviewing these guys and talking to them about what they're going to do next with respect to the iPad and iPhone and so forth. And just a great little app. But again, here's this company right here in the Twin Cities that none of us have ever heard of. So...
It's amazing the things that we turn up,
Are you at the bottom of your well now?
Just went down into a well. Wait a minute. Are you back now, Graham?
I'm here.
Okay. Well, you were echoey there for a minute.
Yeah,
I thought maybe you got the coffee can out.
Yeah. Well, I don't know what caused that.
That's just happens. So that's great. I mean, I'm glad that we've uncovered. And that really is a good point to make here, that if you know of a company or a developer or somebody in the innovation space, you know, web tech and internet technology, please let us know.
Absolutely.
Point them our way, because as fun as it is to stumble across them, we'd much rather be able to say, look, here they are. Let's talk about them. So.
Yep.
I wonder
yep.
how many of those local iPhone developers are doing iPad apps.
Well,
as luck would have it.
Funny you would segue into my post.
Didn't someone we know write a rather in-depth post on that?
Yeah, it was posted late last night, as I recall.
Late last night. It took him a week, but he got it.
That's because I've been so busy this week. But one of
playing with your iPad. That's what you said at the top of the post.
Not as much as I'd like. I mean, I think I've got about 40 apps on it already, but I've hardly had a chance to use that many of them. But one of those developers I met at the Apple Store, Tiny Mission, Becky Freeman. I actually met her on Wednesday when I went over there for that business seminar, Steve.
Wednesday. I know
you were going to try to make it to that too, but I had to go over there to do a thing with the Genius Bar anyway. So it was quite a good group, and I met another, you know, app developer who happens to be doing iPad apps as well. So. Yeah, I profiled five of them in the story who I'd been asking about iPad going back to last Saturday when I got mine.
Well, of course, one of the things I've been thinking about was, well, and I first of all should encourage people to go and read your post about iPhone app developers talk iPad and OS 4, because it's really good. I mean, you did talk to all the movers and shakers here for the most part. Mm-hmm. And when we get our special guest on, Julio Ojeda Zapata, we'll actually talk about this in a little while, about sort of some of the backlash with OS 4, iPhone OS 4 and so on. But good post. Very well detailed.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I got reactions from these guys, and they all had something interesting to say. They're all very excited about the platform, obviously, and have apparently plenty of business with clients who are anxious to get apps on that platform.
Yep. Well, something else that happened this past week on the 7th, I did a post about Comcast winning their battle over the FCC with respect to managing their own network relative to BitTorrent.
And how do you feel about that? What do you think? I mean, you've been very much involved in the guides and then also with the broadband activity. Where are your feelings on this decision?
Well, you know, I think that this is just a tactical battle. And there's an overall or overarching strategy that I'm glad I don't have to rule on relative to who owns the internet, essentially, and who, you know, should it be neutral or should it be managed, quote unquote, by the internet service providers. But, you know, in Comcast defense, this particular ruling, I mean, they had huge issues with BitTorrent traffic, supposedly. Do they have the right essentially to manage their own network? That's really what this was all about. And everyone else is really crying that this is a huge blow against net neutrality and so forth. I don't see it that way. And that was kind of the crux of my post. And I know that seems unusual for me because I'm typically on the other side, but, I saw this as a tactical battle, and there's a much larger set of issues going on relative to basically, you know, who owns the interstate highway system, and should somebody that also owns trucking companies be allowed to manage what the other trucking companies can do over that interstate highway system, and how neutral should it be, and should it be a public kind of thing, and those are the overarching questions that Congress is going to have to get involved in and legislate around, and either give power to the FCC for rules and regulations or not. But this did strip the FCC of some power.
Well, I think that, you know, ultimately, we all would like to see any sort of industry, media, or commerce self-regulated. I think we all desire that. It's all a matter of how it plays out, because as we've discussed in so many podcasts, the issue of broadband and wireless and how the size of the pipe and the management of that pipe is going to be vital to the growth of all of this technology. So it'll be interesting to see how this pans out.
Yep. Well, and what's interesting is I had a conversation yesterday with a buddy of mine out in the Bay Area, and we were talking about this ruling, and we were talking about Apple's iPhone OS rules, and we'll get into that later in the show. But it was really interesting, and I'm not going to say who he is because he gave me some opinions that would reflect poorly on his position at the company. But he did, in fact, say that it
that's
was
a nice little thing to
I
say,
know.
Steve.
Yeah, I know.
Now he's going to have a little meeting.
That's why I'm not saying his name. But he did say that it was something. The biggest thing to watch out for is, will Comcast and Time Warner and other major internet service providers end up with the same level of control that Apple has with the iPhone OS and the iPad OS, allowing what can and cannot run on their respective platforms? Because, you know, Comcast, I'm sure, would look at their internet infrastructure as a platform. And Jim Lauterbach, who's in charge of Revision 3, is the CEO, the internet network, came out with a statement along the lines of that. You know, are we essentially allowing these guys to control who gets to distribute video over their network, them or startups? So it's going to be real interesting. This stuff's going to get uglier and uglier and uglier as these battles go on. But I don't want to bog down too much here. In fact,
I think it's one of those things that really needs to be addressed. And believe me, it's not going to be the last time it's addressed. So,
no, it's
so
not.
So why don't we get a hold of Julio and go from there?
Why don't we patch him in? Let me add him to the conference here.
Patch him in.
Yeah. Like Steve McGarrett.
Right, you know.
Oh, failed. User's not online.
Well, it's not 20 after yet.
You know, that's very, very true.
Maybe he just restarted his system too.
Yeah, that could be. I'll try him here in a minute.
So as we sit here and wait for Julio, I just noticed that, you know, Rick Munn from Social Media Breakfast Minneapolis, or MSP, Minneapolis, St. Paul, his wife is now on Twitter.
Huh. Oh, really?
Yes.
Took her a while, huh?
And it says here, as I'm working on educating myself on the ins and outs of social media, anyone have people they can suggest to follow for reliable info? I guess she finally says, look, I'm never seeing the guy, so I probably ought to find out who he's hanging out with.
He could sure put her in touch with the right list, though, couldn't
he?
Yeah,
he sure could.
What is there on our Ning site for Social Media Breakfast now? Isn't it north of 2,000 people or something? It's crazy.
Oh, is it really?
So. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's huge.
So the next social media breakfast is what? It's social media and
real estate.
Real estate.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Well, I should go to that and make sure that the point gets across. Please, real estate people, don't follow me in the hope that I'll auto follow you back so you can ping me on houses you have for sale in my neighborhood. Really?
That,
I mean, I get that all the time.
Know, holy God.
I mean, it's like, come on, you guys. I keep saying to people, you know, social media is not like walking into a party and starting to hand out business cards. You should probably get to know people first and introduce yourself to them.
That's just crazy talk. That's what that is. That's just crazy talk.
Oh, my gosh.
The first thing I want to do is be sold something when I meet somebody.
There you go.
That's right. Spam, baby, spam.
There you go.
Hello.
Hey, Julio. How you doing?
You know, Julio, when somebody tells you 9:20, you don't mess around. You say 9:20, that's when I'm turning on Skype, baby.
Yeah.
We tried at 9:18, but no.
And
dice.
You weren't there.
Yeah, sorry about that.
We were crying. We had to fill the time.
And it was not, it wasn't pretty. It wasn't pretty. We resorted to reading Twitter, Julio.
That's how bad it was.
So Phil was making the stretching motions with the hands.
You're right.
Yes, yes, yes. He keeps sending me chat messages saying, no dead air, Steve.
No dead air, Steve. No dead air, Steve. Julio, how are you?
Oh, a little groggy. I've been doing a lot of iPad stuff and putting in such long hours, so.
Mine makes me groggy too.
If you go to my blog, and I think I have like 20 posts, you know, visible on my blog on the main page at any one time. And if you look at the blog, top to bottom, it's all iPad right now.
What do you use for a blogging engine? Just out of curiosity.
Well, it's a little complicated. At work, we're movable type based, and I don't have, you know, full control over look and feel, but it isn't bad. That's fine. I do a lot of posters, and I'm gearing up to do some blogging independent of my employer, and that's going to be on Squarespace.
Got it. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Well, before we get too
WordPress, I know you guys are WordPress geeks, but WordPress gives me the willies a little bit because I just don't have a lot of patience for like tinkering and troubleshooting. Yeah. I just want to just go. And Squarespace looks like you can do some fairly sophisticated stuff on the back end, but you don't have to worry, you know, too much about security issues and, you know, updating and that sort of thing.
You know, bad news there, Julio, because I, you know, before I got onto the podcast this morning, I was messing with one of my clients' Squarespace accounts, and it's not as easy as you might.
Well, I have a little developer help.
There you go. You know people.
Yeah, I know people are gonna sort of help me with I know somebody that's gonna be translating my book for me. I'm working on a book about the iPad. I think I told you that. I know somebody that's gonna be she's gonna be my translator for the Latin American edition. And her husband works as a web developer, and so we're doing a swap thing. I give her, you know, half of the proceeds for any sales of the translated book, and in exchange her husband, you know, does some development work for me, so it kind of works out well for everybody.
That's good to know a geek.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Hey, before we get too cranked up, we should just tell people who you are for those who are listening to the show.
I'm not sure who I am. Who am I?
Julio Ojeda Zapata is the consumer technology reporter for the St. Paul Pioneer Press, a media news group newspaper, where you write a weekly tech test drive column and maintain my Your Tech weblog. But you also wrote a book on Twitter and business called Twitter Means Business. Mm-hmm. And I did not know about the iPad book.
I didn't either.
Is this new?
Oh, I mean, I thought I told you guys. I'm gonna do kind of a riff on the Twitter book, and the book, the iPad book, is going to be using the implications of the iPad as a business tool, and it's gonna be, you know, partly case studies, you know, people using the iPad for serious work, both, you know, in the enterprise as well as, you know, independent folks running small businesses. And then also I'm gonna dig into, you know, the background of, you know, prominent apps that are business related, such as Box.net and Evernote and that sort of thing. So,
well, you know what? You know what,
it's
Julio?
It's gonna be an interesting journey.
One of the things I did is I sold my MacBook Pro and I bought an iPad 64 gig, and I'm literally I replaced it.
Ecstatic.
And, well, you know what, though? In all seriousness, I mean, that's why I asked you about what you're doing for blogging, because I literally am trying to figure out new workflows. And
well, the blogging on the iPad, I have not quite figured that out yet. Postgres is very easy. The web bookmarklet works fine. Or you can post by email. That's fine. But, you know, some of the more heavy-duty blogging systems, how that's going to work with the iPad, I'm not really 100% clear, although I fully expect Squarespace to release a souped up iPad version of their very good iPhone app. So,
well, and WordPress has one as well, but it's interesting because there's little things that are missing. For instance, doing inline images. So if I want to, I've got Photogene on my iPad and I can bring that in, I can resize images and do all kinds of wonderful things, but then dropping that into the WordPress app, it actually attaches the image to the bottom of the post. And so it's just an image attachment. I can't do a left, center, or right justified image. You also can't do hyperlinks. So I can't highlight a word and do a hyperlink. And I mean, there's just little things like that. It's like, what?
That's how come you can't just use Safari to do it right in WordPress?
Well, I have to, but I'm also going to have, I'm using Tiny MCE Advanced, that word-like toolbar. I'm going to have to shorten.
Flash alert.
No, it's not Flash. I'm going to have to shorten it because it's the right side admin sidebar stuff overlaps the post area. So it's just little, you know, there's just little things like that. I just got to figure some things out.
Hey, Steve, did you look at that BlogPress iPad app? It's $299. I wonder if that's any good.
Well, I'm going to buy it just to try it, but it also will not do hyperlinks.
Oh, okay.
Which is just bizarre. But
a buddy of mine, Patrick Rohn. You guys know Patrick?
No.
Yeah.
Patrick Rohn.
Yeah, minimal Mac.
He's the minimal Mac guy. Yeah. He's in a similar situation. He phases in a laptop every 3 years when his Apple Care runs out. But this time around, his phase in period neatly coincided with the iPad release, and he decided, I'm not getting a new laptop. I'm just going to set my older laptop aside as a desktop replacement, and then my mobile solution is gonna be an iPad. And a lot of people have sort of scoffed at that, to which he very conveniently replies, "Oh, and by the way, a long time ago during the Newton era, the Newton was my only mobile device, and that was fine for me too."
Huh. Yeah, but that was before there really were laptops, though.
I guess, yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's fascinating. Well, it's going to be interesting because I said this to my wife last night. I have never seen so much positive and negative buzz about any product that's ever been shipped. And I did a post on my own blog called Quit Whining About the iPad Interface. And it was all about how back in when Apple introduced the Mac in 1984, I remember the huge backlash against DOS developers who were really, really pissed off that they were constrained by this file edit, you know, this menu structure and this graphical user interface and how much slower it was and all of that. And the only difference now is that we're all connected. So it's, you know, it's much easier to see somebody's opinion in a nanosecond and find other people's that are buzzing around quickly. But there really aren't a lot of differences. I mean, there's a huge shift going on, and people are really having a hard time with it.
Yeah, it's different, that's for sure. And I think, you know, just the overwhelming hype that the press gives to Apple and the blogosphere and everything else just turns a lot of people off. They just, you know, particularly if they're, you know, more aligned with the Windows camp, you know, they just tend to still have that sort of, you know, anti-Apple mentality in it. It's hard for people to accept new changes and new platforms, but hey, you know, I mean, the Apple faithful just dive in and go, hey, let's start playing with it and go with it and see what happens, you know, and maybe we're going to like it, you know.
Yeah, as a member of the Apple faithful, I'm enjoying the iPad, but they're great frustrations. Like, I find it very extremely comfortable to be sitting on a couch and then just kind of set my laptop on my lap, and then the screen, you know, the screen is standing upward and the viewing angle is great, and I can reach out and type something if I want to, and I might get used to it, but it just seems, you know, suboptimal to be craning, you know, you have to pull your knees upward to give the iPad something to rest on, and then you have to sort of crane your neck downward to read and or to do something, and that's fine initially, but you know, over time it gets very uncomfortable, and the laptop is it has a stand sort of built into it. That works in bed for me too. You know, I'll be sitting up in bed with a laptop, and that I love that. I've done that, you know, for ages, and the iPad it just doesn't feel as natural, that's kind of bugging me.
Well, with the case, though, you know, I got the Apple case, the $39 one, and you can prop it up a little bit. So if you're putting it on your knees or if you're at a table, you can prop it up just, you know, those 3 inches or so. And it's a lot easier to type on the virtual keyboard then. Mm-hmm. But I knew I wanted more than the virtual keyboard. So I bought the, you know, the Bluetooth keyboard, which I love. And mm-hmm. But of course, you know, hauling two things over to the couch or to bed or whatever. But the way that Apple's positioning it, it seems to be, you know, more as a content consumption kind of a device, at least now, where people could lie on the couch and just, you know, play around on it without, you know, without really using the keyboard much, you know, just watching stuff, you know, consuming stuff, not inputting or creating on it, you know. But gee, at a table, I tweeted my first event, you know, from the lunch table at the Minneapolis Club on Thursday, had the thing propped up, and you know, I was tweeting from it. It was a little crowded to have my iPhone there, my iPad, my plate, my coffee, my, you know, I was worried I was going to tip over my iced tea on my keyboard or something, but no, I didn't have the keyboard. I just had the virtual keyboard. There's another advantage to the virtual keyboard.
Coffee
proof. You can't spill on that puppy.
Well, I find it really interesting that so many people are trying to make this thing into a laptop replacement when Apple is positioned this as not a laptop replacement.
Right. Yep.
And that's an excellent point. If you're going to view this as a laptop replacement, as a full productivity machine, that might work for some people, but that's generally not going to work. You're right. It is a consumption device. And that part of it is rocking my world because I'm a big, I record TV shows using Elgato and then sync them to iTunes. Big Netflix streaming guy. There are all these content options that I can consume. I can use the ABC app now. I can use the Netflix app. There's just a ton of entertainment stuff. You know, my RSS via NetNewsWire is on there. I can do a ton of stuff. But again, I get back to my earlier point. I'm on the couch doing all this stuff, and I want to do it comfortably for hours at a time, but I can't find a comfortable position that will allow me to do it without, you know, feeling some serious pain after a while. So.
Well, I think that it's what's going to be interesting is multitasking when that comes out. And in fact, we should, you know, let's just segue into that. We were going to talk about this stuff, you know, the iPhone OS and some of the new rules for developers and things like that. Let's just jump into that right now. For those that don't know, this past week, Apple had an event for iPhone OS 4, and that'll be the same OS that runs on the iPad this fall. And there was unbelievable buzz about it because of some controls that Apple put into place on how you have to develop apps and the sorts of apps that will not be allowed to be run. And one of the ways that Adobe tried to ensure that you could create an app in Flash and then compile it to run on the iPhone or the iPad has been nixed in Apple's new developer guidelines, their new software development kit license. So it now blocks all the cross-compiled third-party apps. And Adobe just went nuts. I mean, a guy that I follow, John Dowdell, and another guy, John Knack, spokespeople, you know, and evangelists and stuff for Adobe, had some just incredible posts. One was, you know, the "Go Screw Yourself, Apple" post, which I'll put in the show notes. But it was, I mean, they are just really, really having an issue with being shut out. And then locally, Dan Grigsby, who was one of the original gang that helped found Minovate, He started Mobile Orchard and was actually out doing courses on iPhone development. Did a post yesterday that he's shutting down Mobile Orchard and walking away from anything iPhone or iPad related in terms of seminars and so forth. So, and it could be, I mean, I had somebody do a direct message to me last night after I tweeted it, who said, I'll bet if he was making money doing this, or, you know, if there was a big future in it, he wouldn't have done it, but the timing is suspect. And I think there's maybe some validity to that. I've actually reached out to Dan in order to ask him some of those kinds of questions.
Are you saying he did this in direct reaction to the OS 4 announcement?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'll be damned.
Yep. 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 So he sent that out via Twitter that he was shutting down Mobile Orchard and walking away from the iPhone seminar workshop business, where he was teaching and training developers on how to create apps. And he got on Hacker News. I mean, somebody linked to his article. And, you know, it's just yet another voice from the developer community, a nicely timed announcement, but there's huge backlash in the developer community. But again, I'll come back to my post that I did about quit whining about the iPad interface. I mean, it's in some ways, it's the same kind of thing. There was huge, I mean, I remember because I was as a manufacturer's rep for Apple at the time in 84 and 85, the incredible backlash on who does Apple think they are, you know, creating this graphical user interface model and making us learn a new way of doing this and constraining us into having this, file edit metaphor and so forth. It was huge backlash at the time, but you know what? People got over it, didn't they?
Yeah. Yeah, they sure did. So
well, and there are so many alternatives to the iPhone, and there will be alternatives to the iPad. So if you don't like the way Apple's doing it, just follow Dan's lead. I really respect that he has these principles and he's standing up for what he believes in. That's great.
Yeah.
Go on and develop for Android or whoever else.
Right.
You know, it's an open market. So I don't kind of get this whole thing where all of these developers are so outraged. I mean, there's no one's holding a gun to their head saying they have to develop for the iPhone.
That's right. Exactly. Yep.
Well, I think from a business standpoint, they know they have to develop for the iPhone. It's not like the iPhone is going to go away. The question is, and I think that there's a lot of these guys are providing an important service because they are pushing back to some extent. And the only way you're going to make change is by pushing back to some extent. But ultimately, yeah, Tim, you're right. You have to settle. You have to say, look, if I'm going to play in the space, I got to play by these rules.
And from what I understand, developers are making good money developing for the platform.
Well, some are. Yeah, all aren't, you know, and I don't
know. Well, with 300,000 apps, there's no way everybody's going to make money.
Right.
Oh, absolutely not. The vast majority aren't, you know. But, and, you know, maybe businesses, I don't know if Mobile Orchard was making money or not, but you wouldn't think so if he's just shutting it down. I don't know. But yeah, you can't all become tremendously successful when there are so many developers going into it.
Did you guys hear about 8-bits getting acquired by Twitter?
Yes.
Something? Yeah, Tweety.
And it looks like a success story for you.
And it looks like they're going to port it to other platforms, which is interesting.
Yeah. What did Twitter pay for? What did they use to pay for this, by the way? I'm just kind of curious.
Stock. Maybe. $1 billion valuation. I was going to say the other neat thing that came out of that story, at least the Mashable version of it that I saw early this morning, is that Twitter's due to launch an official iPad app, or there's speculation that they will be anyway, which is good.
Actually, that's I think that's confirmed. Lauren Brichter, creator Tweety for iPhone, will be sort of the lead developer.
The lead on that. Okay, that's what the story said. Yeah. Yeah, and I'm actually glad to hear that because I haven't been real knocked out with any of the Twitter apps on iPad yet. I'm kind of getting into Twiddle later iPad, but it still isn't quite right for me. And
what about Twitterific? Is that supposed to be pretty good?
I you know, I'm not happy with any of them yet, but
so is there a possibility? Well, you could also use, you know, you could use the online stuff. You could always use TweetDeck, right? I mean,
there's an iPad. There's an iPad app for TweetDeck, but I'm not liking that much either. But then I haven't been big on TweetDeck anyway. But I have my Tweety app, you know, for my iPhone on my iPad, and I can use that, and that's fine. But you know, it doesn't rotate, and so you know, I'm using my iPad in landscape mode most of the time, and that's my biggest bitch is so many of these iPhone apps that I allowed to be installed on my iPad, you know, they don't rotate, and I don't like having to turn the damn thing into portrait mode, and then you can hit a 2X button to double the size of it, but then it's all pixelated, you know, and so, you know, my take on iPhone apps on the iPad is sort of, yeah. You know, a lot of them aren't that great.
So with Twitter now being in the market for buying stuff like, you know, like Tweety, you suppose they'd be interested in a little joke service?
Hey,
Comic Twit, maybe. Comic Twit.
Hey, let me tweet Fred Wilson on that.
Well, wait a minute. Make sure I get a couple of really good dick jokes up there first, okay?
So. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, isn't it funny though? I mean, it's you know, about how things happen. The guy that starts the Twitter account, Shit My Dad Says, and ends up getting it. It's going to be a TV show with William Shatner. I mean, it's like,
oh please,
it is.
Oh no.
Oh Graham, I got to tell you, I followed this guy for quite a while.
This guy is hilarious.
I can't believe that his dad is really that like that and that funny. But boy, I tell you, some of the stuff is. Outstanding.
Well, I don't know. I think that, you know, maybe there has been a shift to actual writing for the thing, but I could definitely hear some old guys saying that stuff. And if you take it out of context, it's hilarious stuff.
I mean, it is. It is. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, geez. And did it all start with Twitter? Is that the deal? I haven't followed it. Really.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I've just occasionally heard about it.
Well, the backstory is this guy moves home and ends up moving back in with his dad. And his dad's like 74 years old, and you look at him and he's just this, he looks like an old codger. And this kid started writing down what his dad said and doing it as tweets. And it's, you just gotta do a Google search on, you know, Shit My Dad Says, and just go find the Twitter account, just go through some of them. Cause a lot of them are really funny.
They're developing a TV show based upon it.
Yeah. William Shatner. Yeah.
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 Wow. Didn't you just hear us? Didn't you hear that?
Yeah, it sounded familiar.
What cable network is doing this, I wonder?
Well, I don't know.
One of the cable.
Justin is the guy that is actually, you know, writing these things down. So
funny.
Wow. It's very funny. Wow. It's very funny.
Well, let's talk about what's coming up this week. So I know on Monday, Minovate will be covering Mini WebCon down at the University of Minnesota. And for those that don't know, I think it's sold out, but last year it was just terrific. And we also did a podcast with Chris Leon, who's the director of it, and really a good event. And then Graham, you're going to an event.
Yeah, I double booked. I didn't realize Mini WebCon was Monday. Well, I got invited to be a judge at this sort of American Idol, speaking of TV shows, sort of American Idol for startups to pitch at a thing called Minneapolis Crowd Pitch, sponsored by Funding Universe, which is out of Utah and holds these things around the country. And Rainsource Capital is a co-sponsor. So they brought Funding Universe to town, and it's at the Hilton at 494 in France, a new Hilton there. And we're trying to get more than 104 people so we can beat the Denver attendance, which was the last one they held. And it's free and lunch is included between 11:30 and 1:30. And a bunch of us are judges. Grigsby's a judge too. And Pete Berklin of Rainsource, yep. And a guy from Twin Cities Angels. It should be a lot of fun. They picked four out of about 25 or 30 who applied, or maybe it's five. They're going to get up and do 4-minute pitches, and then the audience has fun money, and they vote on which one is the best, and the judges get more fun money, so our opinions are weighted a little more heavily. And
as it should be, right?
It sounds like it's going to be kind of a fun deal. And, you know, obviously angels have been invited, and it's about bank financing too, not just angel funding. That's what Funding Universe is about. And they've had very successful events like these all over the country. So I'm really glad to see something like this come here. Because we don't get that many of these national touring kinds of things here.
Right.
But thanks to RainSource, we're getting this one. So I'll give you the link, Steve. Maybe you can put it in the show notes.
Yeah, that'd be great. That'd be great. And Julio, what are you seeing coming up this next week? Anything that looks particularly interesting or...
Well, I'm going on vacation next week.
And so we'll actually have nothing.
Okay, nothing, yeah.
Where are you going? Can we come?
Well, I'm going to my desk to work on my book.
Oh. That doesn't sound like any fun.
Family's loving you for that, Julio.
It's a working vacation. I'm basically going to cash in my vacation time to get most, if not all, of the book stuff done. So.
Got it. Got it.
Well, I got another piece of news that happened this past week, Steve, that I should do a shout out to Business Card 2, to Leif Larson. His company, Workface, was selected by Always On as one of the on-demand 100 companies. So he gets to go to Palo Alto in a couple of weeks, or actually about a week or so, the 19th through the 21st, to pitch in front of what will be a large crowd, I'm sure, probably 600-700 people at HP headquarters in Palo Alto. And since he's been a client, I'm going to tootle on out there with him and tweet from the event myself. I haven't been to an Always On event, and I have, you know, I just need an excuse to get out to the Valley, and this is it. So.
Well, you know, I'd be curious when you get out there, for those that don't know, the Always On Network was started by Tony Perkins.
Yep.
And Tony started, what, Red Herring Magazine and some other things?
And Upside prior to that.
Upside.
With my friend Rich Carlgaard. Yep.
Yep, yep, yep. And I remember when Always On used Mark Cantor, the guy that started Macromedia, used Mark Cantor's platform to build the Always On Network. And they built something called Going On. And I remember signing up for it and getting, participating. It was kind of a social network for people in technology and venture capital and things of that nature. And they've kept going and kept driving. I'm looking at the site right now. I'll put it in the show notes. But here's what. I would love it, Graham, if you would kind of do a smell test on what's going on with them. I mean, what kind of momentum have they got? Because they sure seem to be doing a lot of events, but
yeah, they are, and he knows that business very well. I mean, it's looking stronger than ever, but you know, he struggled through the early years. I mean, what you're talking about was back when they launched. It was probably in 01, 02. So he launched that thing in the midst of a real downturn, you know.
Yeah.
But he's held on. I mean, the guy is like the Energizer Bunny. You know, you can't stop this guy.
Right.
But I am kind of curious to get out there and get with him face to face and see how the thing is looking and feeling, because I used to go to all the old Red Herring events. They were fantastic, you know, but I must say I've never been to an Always On event. He's kind of chintzy with the press passes.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think Leaf's got a pass for me to this one. So bless you, Leaf, if you're out there.
Excellent.
So, that'll be fun. That's the 19th through the 21st. And then I'll be back, Steve, and you guys will be too on the 22nd for the all-day Minnesota High Tech Association Spring Conference.
That's right.
At the convention center. So we're all set up to live blog that one and maybe do each live blog breakout sessions there. There's a cloud computing session that'll be good. There's a good panel or two that we're going to want to cover for sure, plus some keynote speakers as well. Yep. I think Tom Kiefer succeeded in getting the new head of Star Tribune. The new guy that's running the show there, I think, might be one of the speakers. And they're all about transforming their online presence. So that ought to be interesting to see if we hear any hints about that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they still need a lot of help on their website, and I'm hoping this year they'll do a hashtag. And we may have to explain to them again what a hashtag is. But
it's not the most social media savvy group.
They're not, well, they're, yeah.
That MHTA audience is really kind of a large company, older generation kind of a group for the most part. But we'll get in there and stir them up.
But you know what they did that I love is I talked to a woman there last year and brought up the fact that, you know, it would be really great. Any link that you put on, if you would put in parens after it, PDF, so that you know before you click on it that it's a PDF. And they're doing that now throughout the site. So that to me is just huge as a... I know I shouldn't have to explain something like this to a high tech association, but anyway.
Well, there's good news coming though with the MHTA. I think Tom Kiefer is now vice chair, and I think he's advancing to chair next year. And I like to think that we're going to have a closer relationship with the startup community. At least the early stage companies coming for that organization, which has really been kind of lacking in the past.
Yeah, right. All right. Well, anything fun going on?
Always lots of fun going on.
Yeah.
My son and I are going to Minnesota Orchestra tonight, and they're going to have, I'm not a big orchestra kind of guy. I kind of let my wife handle that because my wife and my son are both into classical music, and I could take it or leave it. But tonight, my son and I are going to a performance that's going to be all video game themed music.
So cool.
Oh, you're kidding. Oh my God, my son would love that.
Yeah, they're going to riff on all the classic video games, and I think my son is going to enjoy that just a little more than I will because he's a big gamer and I absolutely am not.
So is my son, yeah.
But I'm actually reviewing that for the paper. So cool. That'll be fun. And then my son, I can't remember, it's in a month or two. There's a traveling Music of Star Wars thing.
Yeah, I saw that. Ooh. Yeah.
It's going to be playing at the Excel, my son and I are very excited about that.
That ought to be an interesting crowd at Orchestra Hall tonight.
Yeah.
To see the mix of demographic at that one.
Yeah, well, I'm going in my Mario costume. No, I'm just kidding.
You know, if any of us would have said that, you would have hung up.
Leads me to an observation. My son and I have just been nerding / geeking out big time. If you go to my blog, he's been my right hand man on my iPad stuff. You know, I've actually been using the iPad more than I have, and I've got pictures of him up there, and it's been a lot of fun.
Cool.
That's great.
We're headed into some great weather. 70s this week. I mean, it's crazy, you know, in April. I'll take it, though. I'm for fun this weekend, I'm even going to break out the Woody, my wood-paneled station wagon.
With
the surfboard on top.
What?
I'll be cruising.
That's a car for those who are listening.
Okay, that's a little bit, yes. That's great to know, Graham. Have fun with that, but please don't share that.
He's great, man. I'll be playing with my Woody.
Yeah.
Are you gonna drive up to the North Shore and get some surfing in, or?
You know, I wish I could. I got to get it up there for our big celebrations this June.
Okay, now this is just getting sick.
I'd rather
you gotta get it up, and you're getting out your Woody.
It's a long drive in a 65 VW Beetle Woody, you know, but it would make it, you know.
Yeah, well.
So that's what I'm doing for fun.
Well, this weekend, it's going to be interesting. Speaking of the weather, not that we want to end on the weather, but I have to cut the lawn this weekend and put on weed and feed. And
yeah, pretty exciting.
This is literally more than a month earlier than ever.
Yep.
So for those that don't believe that there's something going on, not with the weather, but with climate change, whether or not you subscribe to that or not, I'll tell you, if it's listening to Will Steger I listened to a podcast and Will Steger was talking about how up in Ely, the people up there, now that all the ice is off the lakes, are no longer looking at him like he's got two heads, like he's some idiot screaming about climate change. So interesting stuff. Well, listen, have a great weekend. Julio, thank you for coming on, and look forward to your iPad book.
Yeah. When is that going to come out?
Oh, well, it's I'm not exactly sure, but you know how political reporters, after, you know, fresh off a presidential campaign, they'll sort of hunker down and do a quick turnaround book.
Yep.
My book is kind of like that. This technology moves so fast that I can't twiddle my thumbs. I got to get moving quickly here.
Yep.
So I'm hoping it'll be out, you know, literally within a few months.
Great.
Yeah, your publisher cranks them out fast. I know
my publisher is a quick turnaround outfit. I like it about them because traditional publishers, you know, they have you sign a contract for an iPhone book and the sucker doesn't come out for a year or, you know, nine months, or it's ridiculous. Yeah.
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 Yep.
Yeah, times are changing. Yep.
All right. Well, have a great weekend, you guys.
Yeah. Thanks, guys. Same to you guys.
Yeah.
Take care.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
Yep. Have a good week.